Welcome, child of God, to yet another life-changing message from Reverend Sydney Alamanson. Reverend Sydney is the head pastor of God's Our Light Church, City of His Presence. He is a man of God who operates in the healing, prophetic, and teaching ministries. Today, the man of God takes us through a series titled, Developing a Faith That Works. And the theme for today's episode is Sinful Speech. Stay tuned, and you will be blessed.
Amen. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. King James Version. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Hallelujah. How was your week, church? How was your week? Someone say, Hallelujah. I want to believe that your week was good. Mine was good. Amen. In all things, give thanks to God. Amen. Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15, King James Version. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Amen. Give me Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29. It says that let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use for edification, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Can we read that together? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their need. I read from the ESV version. It says that let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up as fit the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. The Message Bible says that watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps each word a gift. The NASB version says that let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word, and it's in italics there, as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those that hear. And I read lastly from the Phillips and the NLT version. The Phillips version says that let there be no more foul language, but good words instead. Words suitable for the occasion, which God can use to help other people. And the NLT says that don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your word will be encouraging to those who hear them. Look at somebody, say sinful speech. Say sinful speech. I want to quote from Thomas Martin. He said that the tongue had need to be restrained with force and watchfulness, for it is quick and ready to bring forth every wicked conception. You must not only watch over it, but bridle it. It is good to break the force of this constraint within us and to suffocate and choke them in the first conception, unquote. The Bible is full of admonitions concerning the tongue. Somebody say the tongue. And I want to break it down as I ended last week and let you know certain things that are sinful when it comes to the tongue. Because I want to believe that some people said that man of God or pastor doesn't mean I cannot speak, or how can I speak, or what kind of words should I say. And I want to believe God that God will open your eyes and the mind of your understanding for you to understand the things that you speak and how benefit it can benefit you. Are you understanding me? Or how encouraging it can encourage your brother or your sister. Somebody say my speech. So the Bible is full of exhortations and admonition concerning the tongue. And Proverbs is one particular book in the Bible that gives about 60 warnings and instructions about the various kinds of the tongue. And the Bible makes me understand in Proverbs chapter 6 verse 17 and 12 to 19 and 26 to 28, and it talks about the lion tongue. I'm going to move a bit quicker, so please stay with me. It talks about the lion tongue. Someone say the lion tongue. Give me Proverbs chapter 6 verse 17. I'm not going to read all the scriptures here. Are you understanding? For want of time. So please, when I state the scripture, you write it down. Hallelujah. Whilst you write it down, you give me your attention as well. It says that haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. So Proverbs is full of about 60 warnings about the tongue. In Proverbs chapter 6 verse 24, it talks about the tongue of flattery. Give me that scripture, please. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 24, it talks about the flattery of the tongue, or the tongue that is flattery. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 24, is it there, please? Proverbs chapter 6 verse 24, it says that to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. So that says that the tongue can be flattery. Are you understanding me? And that is why some ladies will say, don't flatter me, because you are saying things that is not in existence, something that is actually not real. Are you understanding me? There are times where somebody can say you are looking beautiful, but in fact you are not looking beautiful, but it's because of flattery words. Somebody can say you have a lot of things in your life, but indeed you do not have it. And that could be what flattery tongue. Are you understanding me? I remember gone were the days when we were in school, in university, when we were driving and we'll see a guy and a lady will park and we'll tell the lady that obwa or dada. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I speak to you? You know, it was some joke that we were doing, and sometimes we say that obwa or dada. And there are times where we will use some strange languages like obwa or tafri wajimu. Hallelujah. Whether it was just to explain or just to let the person know it was some sort of a joke. But the scripture makes us understand that there are flattery tongue. There are people that are very flattery, and it comes from their tongue. Are you understanding me? They can sugarcoat things and exaggerate things and make it look like it is real, but in fact it is not real. Are you understanding me? It's like a guy that speaks to a lady and say, you are the stars in the heaven. In fact, during the day, the stars can appear. I can imagine how stars can appear during the day. Are you understanding me? And people have flattery tongue. They can come to you and say, man of God, your word that you preach is so powerful, extra powerful. I have never seen any man of God on this planet before. You have to be very mindful and watchful about what flattery tongue. Are you understanding me? And Proverbs also talks about a tongue of the wise. In Proverbs chapter 12 verse 18, a tongue of the wise. A tongue of the wise. And Proverbs chapter 17 verse 20 talks about the perverse tongue. Give that to me. Proverbs 17 20. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 20. Hello. Hallelujah. Are you here? Proverbs chapter 17 verse 20. It says that, let's read together, church. He who has a deceitful heart. Are you here? It's on the screen, please. Let's read together. He who has finds no good, and he has a perverse tongue, falls into evil. Hallelujah. So there are some of us that our tongue can be perverse. Are you understanding me? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 7 verse 21 that there are tongues that are deceptive in speech. Hallelujah. Proverbs 7:21. Is it there? Can you move a bit quick for me? Proverbs chapter 7 verse 21. There are tongues that are very it says that with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Are you understanding me? And Proverbs is talking about a woman here. Are you understanding me? That with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. It's like a woman telling a guy, you have six packs, but there is no six packs. In fact, your stomach is as big as anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's like woman that is saying that because of your money is because you have seen that money, they will flatter you and get whatever they have to get. Hallelujah. It says that with her enticing speech, that means that her speech is what? Very what? Enticing. Have you encountered an enticing speech before? Ah, hallelujah. The woman, why are you quiet? Are you angry at me? In speech, she calls him what? To yield. That means that enticing speech can cause you to what? To yield. Are you understanding me? Not like my hands are around you, I'm hugging you. Just the speech alone can cause you to yield. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. You have not heard a lady that will say, your ears, they are sweet like apple. When I see your eyes, heaven comes down. Have you gone to heaven for heaven to come down before? Proverbs chapter 2 verse 16 talks about flattering words, twin words. Give me Proverbs chapter 6 verse 2. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 16 talks about flattering words. Give me Proverbs chapter 6 verse 2. Hallelujah. Those that are married here, how did you get married? How did you see your what did you say first time? Nana, are you here? And I want to be as practical and as free as possible. Hallelujah. Amen. What did you tell? Those that are in a relation, when you met the guy, what did you say? Your feet are nice. Is it there? It says that you have been trapped by what you said and snared of your mouth. Hallelujah. You have been trapped by what you said and snared by the words what of your mouth. Are you understanding me? Proverbs is admonishing us that we have to be careful by the things that we say, because we can be entrapped by the words what we speak. Are you understanding me? It's like a lady that has proposed to about 7 guys. I love you, I love you, I love you. She's counting. I love you, 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 I love you. But you see, sometimes you are saying I love you, but the person you are saying I love you will find a World Cup. Are you understanding me? Maybe you held their hand and said, I love you. You say, baby, I love you. But sir, I love you in our canon. It means a lot to her. Are you understanding me? So for her, it's beyond a proposal. It has something to do with I do, I do. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. And at the end of the day, after about 6 or 7 guys or ladies, now you are ensnared by what? Your own words. Now this one comes, do you not tell me you love me? At that time, even the clouds had come. It was in the evening when you told me. So why have you changed your mind? Are you understanding me? Proverbs say that you can be ensnared by what? The words that are coming from. So you have to be very careful about the words that you speak. Think before what you speak. Are you understanding me? Think before what you speak. That is why some ladies, they want evidence. So the guy will say, did I tell you I love you? I didn't tell you. Did I tell you I love you? Are you understanding me? Lord have mercy. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 20 talks about hasty words. Please put it there for me. Hasty words. Hasty words. Proverbs 29. It says that, do you see someone who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for them. Are you understanding me? And I have taught in this house that think before what you be slow to speak. Are you understanding me? Think before you. He said, do you see someone who speaks in haste? Every time you are in a hurry to speak. Hallelujah. The person has not even landed. Now you jump into conclusion. Are you understanding me? Maybe the person has said something like, there is money coming, and now you jump and say, so when will you give me that money? He's not said you'll give you that money. Am I communicating? And he says that there is more hope for a fool than for them. It means that when you are in haste to speak, you are equated to somebody who is a fool. You have to relax. Wait for the person to land before what you speak. Don't be in a haste to speak. I have realized people that are like that, after they speak, they are like, what did I even say? Are you understanding me? When there are people, when you are even, oh, Holy Ghost, let me stay here. There are people that, you know, some when you are speaking, you've not even ended the conversation. Am I communicating? I'm not done. Then they will, you see the person will end it. And after they will realize that you were saying something and they will call back. Hallelujah. Wait for the conversation to be done. It's two-way conversation. One from here, one from there. Hallelujah. People don't know how to say thank you, bye. How do you end a conversation like that? Are you understanding me? Am I blessing you? And sometimes these things, they are porous in our life. We don't know how to communicate. Some people, they are testing their beloved or their friend or what. They immediately pick the phone. Hi there. Good day, boy there. What's that? Good morning. Greet the person. Good morning. Hallelujah. How are you? Start a conversation well. What is this? Hi there, boy there, good day. Are you understanding me? Start the conversation well. Be courteous. Be a courteous man. Be a courteous woman. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. Jesus speaks about the impact of words. And he says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 to 37. He says that, King James Version, please give it to me. Jesus speaks about, he said that we need to be careful about what? The words, what we speak. And because you are speaking about 18,000 words a day, Jesus is saying that be careful about what? The words that you speak. And that is why it has landed people into trouble. Be careful. Please, he says that word. Let's read together. But I say to you, every idle word, they will give an account of it in the day of what? Of judgment. 37. It says that, for by the words you will be justified, and by your words you will what? Be condemned. Hallelujah. The passage is good for us because it assists us to walk what? In holiness. Are you understanding me? And passages like this, it should trouble us when we hear it, because the Holy Ghost will be willing to direct and to guide us. And we are going to be accountable for the words that we speak. And not just accountable, but accountable at the day of what? Of judgment. Are you understanding me? But in this particular scripture, Jesus is talking about idle words. Somebody say idle words. And these are words that come out of pride and deceit. And proud words are those kind of words perceived as boasting of a vain fellow. Are you understanding me? A vain fellow. And then deceit, the words that are so deceiving, and you know, you speak it to somebody for an ill-gotten gain. Hallelujah. But it's because I want your money. I'm praising you. It's because of what I will get from you. You see, there are people in the body of Christ like that. Are you understanding me? They speak well about you because of what they... The day you are finished, the relationship is dead. Am I communicating? The day you have, people will befriend you because you release the latest car. The day the car will visit the workshop 7 times, they end the relationship. Are you understanding me? People will befriend you is because one day you send them some unit or credit on their phone, and they said, this person is a good person. Now they praise you. They see you, Ohima Ahofe, Ohima Ahofe. The day that the money is gone, they'll begin to call you Papa Kojo. They will call you by your real name. Are you on? It's because of what is what on you. And there are people in the body of Christ and people in life like that. They only befriend you, or they only get close to you because of what they will get. Immediately that thing is finished, or is exhausted, or is not there. Bye-bye. I don't know you anywhere. But they will not tell it to your face that I don't know you anywhere. It will now begin to show. They begin to draw themselves away from you. Are you understanding me? When you call them, you want to visit, they will tell you, I have traveled. They are not there. Hallelujah. Because they know that at first when you come with goodies, but now it's not there. Look at somebody, say, be careful about the friends you have. Hallelujah. The idol words can be those that report various kinds of misinformation that means reputation. Are you understanding me? Misinformation that means what? Reputation. And people are fond of that. Please be very careful. Jesus is saying that you will be accountable for the idol words that you speak. Some people speak idol words to mend the reputation of others. Are you understanding me? And it's very serious that as believers, we need to understand that the speech against man can fall into areas of speaking. And sometimes they come of no value. No value. But it's because of tainting the image of others. And you find believers in the house of God that are like that. Their speech is as full as anything. Another word to describe idle word is careless. Careless word. Careless word. Are you understanding me? Careless words. And I love what MacArthur in his commentary, he said that the basic meaning of careless is useless. The basic meaning of careless is barren. The basic meaning of careless is unproductive. Are you understanding me? Speaking words that are barren and that are unproductive. Otherwise, it is worthless. Are you understanding me? He says that such words include those that are flippant, irresponsible, or in a way inappropriate. And some of these words, he says, they are hypocritical words, and as worthless as it is, we should delete it from our vocabulary. Are you understanding me? We should delete it from what? Our vocabulary. So idleness of speech opens the heart up to begin with words that are even more destructive. And at the end of the day, it results what in evil. Words that express lust. Proverbs chapter 5 verse 3 to 4. Give it to me please quickly. I want to finish this. I don't want to continue next week. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 5 verse 3 to 4. Is it there? It says that let's read together. It says, for the lips of an immoral woman. Now go back, please. For the lips of what? An immoral woman drips what? Honey. And her mouth is smoother than oil. Aye. It's smoother than your lipstick. Next verse. But in the end, she is bitter as what? Wormwood. Sharp as two-edged swords. Equating it to the word of God. That can tell you that the lustful words that come, not only women but men, the lustful words that come from us could be sharp as two-edged sword. Can words be as sweet as honey? Oh, please talk back to me. Why are you quiet? Hallelujah. We are talking, church. Amen. Can words be sweet as honey? Can I say something to you that will make you feel, Is it true? See me after church. Give me Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 8 quickly, please. Is it there? Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speak what? Deceit. One speak peaceful to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lies in wait. In his heart he lies what? In wait. And I said it last week, I love you, but in the heart I hate you like something. Hallelujah. It's like if I get a stone, I will stone you. It doesn't show from the outside, but in the heart it is there. It says that one speaks peacefully to his neighbor with his mouth. And you see, these things are happening. Hallelujah. And the body of Christ, we have to fight it. It says, but in his heart he lies what? In waste. Are you understanding me? Give me Proverbs chapter 26 verse 20. Proverbs chapter 26 verse 20. Somebody say sinful speech. Say sinful speech. Proverbs 20, let's read together. It says what? You know what it's talking about? It's talking about gossip. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife what ceases. Are you understanding me? Listen, David speaks about guarding the mouth. Psalm 141 verse 3. It says that in King James Version, Psalm 141 verse 3. It says, set a watch. You see, David realized on who the importance of God helping him with what he says. So he says that, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Keep what? The door what? Is it there? Keep watch over what? The door of what? Of my lips. And we know that in Proverbs and what Jesus also said, that it is very important that we watch what we say. Hallelujah. Before progressing in the test of Ephesians, one last reference is what David said. 141 verse, go to verse 4 for me. Verse 4, same chapter, verse 4. It says that, do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked words with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat with their delicacies. Because he realized that the counterman of that is what will happen here. It's Lord, help me that I do not even incline what my heart toward to anything that is evil. Are you understanding me? Am I blessing you? So David realized that it was important. So David had gleaned a great principle in life, that of evil outsiders that would provoke him in impatience and hastily speaking. So he was telling God that, God, watch what my mouth, how I speak, Lord, I pray. Can that be a prayer topic? How many of you have prayed that prayer topic before? No, I doubt here. Can I get a hand? No. It's all we pray is, God, give me car, give me shoes. Hallelujah. But David says that he realized that it was very important. Lord, guard what I say. David desired for the Lord to help him to guard his tongue when he entered some kind of situations. When he entered some kind of what? Situation. Listen, you can be in a moment and the moment can let you speak things you don't have to say. It can let you say things you don't. Listen, it takes somebody with principle to be able to himself in a place of moment like that. Are you understanding me? In a place of moment, people can promise things they are not supposed to promise. Are you understanding me? Can I go deeper? I'm not prophesying. Hallelujah. It's like I see a lady just come by dressed so beautiful. And immediately I saw, I say, met your 500 Ghana. But I wouldn't even say, we're counting a zero. In the haste of the moment, you see that glamour and beauty. And like, I will dash you something. But indeed, you don't have it. Now it becomes promise and fail. Your integrity is at stake. Next time they will move around and say, this person, he is not truthful. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. So David knew the importance and he made it a prayer request that, Lord, Psalm 19 verse 14, give it to me, 19 verse 14. He prayed that the words of his mouth and the meditation of his heart be acceptable in the sight of God. He says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my Redeemer and my strength. He knew the importance of words. Am I speaking to you? Somebody say, Lord, guard my words. Say, Lord, guard my words. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. That's why I love it. He says, don't let unwholesome words exit from what? Your mouth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Quickly, please. He says that the words that are spoken, it gives us great revelation. He says, let's read together, church. Let no corrupt word proceed. Hallelujah. The words that are spoken is of great revelation. You see, the words that you speak, it tells the state of your heart. Are you understanding me? And sinful speech can fall into disgraces. And even not just disgraces, but against God and against man. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. And that is why sometimes we have to be very careful, because sometimes in our speech, we can say something serious that will be against God and even against what? The church as well. Are you understanding me? There are certain doctrines and certain practices that speak against the church and even against what? Against God. Are you understanding me? So that is why the passage in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29 actually covers the broader category of the things that come out of what? Our mouth. Give it to me. It covers what? Is it there? It covers the broader. It says that let no corrupt word proceed. Now the word corrupt here in the Greek is sapros, which means rotten or worthless, both literally and morally. Are you understanding me? Both what? Rotten and what? Worthless. And that is why the Thays Greek lexicon defines the word rotten as petrified or no longer fit to use. It is poor of low quality. Am I speaking to you? So it is very important that the word that we speak, we have to be very mindful of it. The words that are coming out of what? Our heart, not our mind, our what? The abundance of the heart, the mouth what? The mouth speaketh. And to further give indication as the whole of this word that we've looked about, if you go into the deep Greek word of corrupt, it means ponoros, which means that hurtful. Somebody say hurtful. Say hurtful. You see, that is why some people can speak words and it can hurt you. It can kill your spirit. Am I communicating? And you have a believer that speaks like that. We need the grace of God upon us. Hallelujah. And what he's saying here as being hurtful is that the speech is filled with mischief and malice. And it literally means it is a speech of the devil. Are you understanding me? It's a speech of what? Of the devil. Hallelujah. And the kind of speech should be removed from our vocabulary. I repeat again, this kind of speech should be removed from what? Our vocabulary. What kind of speech is it? I'll give you three and I'll close. Number one, gossip. Somebody say, aye. Gossip, tale-bearing and slander. I'll put them all together. Gossip, tale-bearing and slander. Gossip is probably the most common kind of wrong speech that immediately comes into mind when we talk about sinful speech. Am I communicating? How is it defined? It is defined as idle talk or rumor about the personal or private affairs of others. Let me repeat that again. It is defined as an idle talk or rumor about the personal or private affairs of others. And that is why David Bernard, in his book, he said something. He said, gossip is a vicious sin. It is Satan's primary tool for destroying the church from within. It can destroy confidence in people, harm the innocent, and hinder the repentant. Gossip splits churches, discourages saints, and disillusion new convert. The Bible teaches us to speak. The Bible teaches us that we have to be very careful about the words that we speak, especially to our brothers and to our sisters. Look at, give me first Titus chapter 3 verse 2 quickly, please. Titus chapter 3 verse 2. Is it there? Titus chapter 3 verse 2. Hallelujah. Somebody say gossip. Say gossip. You see, the trap of gossip is something that sometimes, you see, people that gossip, they feel self-righteous. People that gossip, they feel self-righteous. Because you see, when somebody gossips about you, whether the issue is true or not, they feel that they have an information about you, and for them they are righteous, for them they are okay. Are you understanding me? So when they see you, they point finger at you like you are the worst person on this planet. Are you understanding me? So they portray themselves like they are what? They are righteous. But be careful that gossip does not take a form of prayer request. Be very careful. Hallelujah. Now you turn your gossip into prayer request. You see, if you come into contact with negative information about someone, you keep it to yourself. You keep it what? To yourself. And what do you do when you keep it to yourself? You spend time in private and pray for the person. Am I communicating? You don't like this message? And one of the things that you need to note is that always consider that there are two sides of the rumor. Am I communicating? Consider there are two sides what of the rumor that goes around. Some people, they pick one and say, say kai. There are two sides what of the rumor. So gossip, by the very nature of its activity, opens up to what we call tale bearing. Tale what? Tale bearing. Now, tale bearer is a person who actively spreads gossip. Listen, actively. Look at somebody, say, are you active? Give the person imaginary high five. Say, are you active? A tale bearer is a person who actively spreads gossip or secret about another that damages their reputation by causing them trouble and what? And harm. Can you listen? You are a believer in the body of Christ, and you are a tale bearer to the crescendo of the house. You actively and only and then Reverend or by only student back on not in the front, you know, then moves to that person, and then me who I saw you sit, you were sitting at Reverend's car front. I saw she was sitting at Reverend's car front. What do you think that or man lift and answer? No free then direction ever. O free Majo and also free Madina and no free. Hallelujah. May I hear me one? Last 2 weeks quiet poor, so seeing your hagging. Reverend. Hey, Reverend. Imonoso. Hallelujah. Tell bearer. So somebody is in the body of Christ and actively spreads what? Rumor about people that are not what? True. Hallelujah. Are you understanding me? But the truth of the matter is that it damages the reputation of others. Why don't you pray for the person in private? Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. If you be in question and say, the way you are quiet, I think I have to close you. Give me Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. It says that thou shalt not go up and down as a tale bearer among thy people. Listen, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Psalm 50 verse 20. It says that thou sittest and speak against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. Ah, Jesus. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 13. It says that a tale bearer revealeth secret, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Can I repeat that again? It says that a tale bearer revealeth secret, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth what? The matter. Are you understanding me? Listen, I pray that the body of Christ will be a better place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, tale bearing and gossip, they don't help new converts. They don't help what? New convert. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 29 verse 9. It says that indeed are men that carry tales to shed blood. Indeed, they eat upon the mountains. In the midst of thee, they commit lewdness. You see, tale bearing can actually dissolve into slander. And slander is the act of defaming one's character. Are you understanding me? By using false and malicious statement that causes misrepresentation. And we have people in the house of God that they are slanderous like anything. Their tongue can what? Can slander you. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. So slander can take place in the house of God, in the church. And sometimes, this is how sometimes somebody who gives financially or involves himself financially in the church, and somebody will say, you know, that person, he has wrong motive. We say, can somebody drop a seed of 1,000 cedis? Anytime this lady will get up, anytime this guy, and somebody is sitting down and saying, no, this guy, why is he giving like that? You not give, somebody is giving. You say, why is he giving like that? Are you understanding me? And now he say, no, I'm sure this guy has a wrong motive. He wants to buy the reverend minister. What's hallelujah. Slanders can take place when a prudent man is labeled as selfish. Are you understanding me? Slandering is accusing a man who is actively involved in the church. And sometimes we say that he's having a spirit of preeminence. No. Uba sorry crowd. Uba Wednesday uha, Saturday uha, then crowd now shishe. We think that you have a wrong. What is that? Are you understanding me? How can the body of Christ live in a place of a talebearer, a gossip, or slander people? And sometimes in our slandering, it brings people down. It destroys their reputation. And most of the time, we find this in our job places or in our employment. People would slander people for promotion. Is it not true? Hallelujah. They will do whatever they have to do to slander you for promotion. However, we have to take Paul's admonition in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29 and work toward allowing our speech to become what? Wholesome. Say, I want my speech to be wholesome and productive. You see, let me tell you something. We should constantly seek places where our own words will be used for edification. Our words will edify people, encourage people. Our words will take them to heaven, not bring them down. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. Number two, lying. Quickly, lying. Another sinful speech is lying. Number one, I said what? Tale bearing and what? Slander. Number two, lying. Another sinful speech, that is lying. Let me define it. Lying is a false statement made with deliberate intent to deceive. Lying is a false statement made with deliberate what? Intent to what? To deceive. It is a falsehood that is inaccurate. You'll be in catch and say, in the at the runaway church, catch and say, at the runaway church, not here. Are you understanding me? How a believer and you can lie like you are there. Sometimes you can lie and you yourself, you are like, Someone say, Hallelujah. Listen, some of us say, yeah, we've lied. Our dress code is lying. Everything about us is lying. Are you understanding me? Lying to the core. But listen, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19, it says that these things doth the Lord hate. Six things. It says that these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, even are an abomination unto him. Watch this. A proud look. A lying tongue. A hands that shed innocent blood. An heart that deceiveth wicked imaginations. Feet that is swift in running in mischief or to mischief. A false witness that speaks lies. And he that soweth discord among his brethren. Six things the Lord hate. Am I communicating? And it is clear here that the three of the things that God considers as an abomination has to do with what? A lion tongue. Say a tongue. A lion tongue. That is in verse 17. A false witness. One that sows discord among what people. How does he sow the discord? With what? His tongue. Is it not true? Hallelujah. And that is why I want to believe God that we have to be constantly be truthful. Say be truthful. Say be truthful. You see, if it's A, it's A. It's B, it's B. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. And Jesus stated that the devil is the father of all lies in John chapter 8 verse 4. So if you're a liar, you have to know that the devil is your grandfather. The first sin that was caused in the Garden of Eden, it came what? With a lie. Is it not true? Is it not true? It came what? With a lie. And even for Job, the devil accuses motives. Even for Job. Even for Jesus, the devil told him. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. He lied. He said, bow down to me. I'll give you the end of, I'll give you everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we need to be what? Be very careful about what? Our speech. Am I communicating? And throughout the Bible, there are multiple examples of lying. Adam and Eve. Say Adam and Eve. Cain lied. Abraham lied. Huh? Abraham lied. Did Abraham not lie? Positively. Someone said, fire! Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Isaac lied. Look at the generation. Joseph brothers, they lied. They lied to his father. They did that in Genesis 37. They did that, right? Potiphar's wife, he lied against the runaway Joseph. Are you understanding me? Aaron lied. Saul lied. David lied. And I want us to read this scripture whilst I close. That the prophet lied as well. Be very careful about some men of God. 1 Kings chapter 13 verse 11 to 22. First Kings chapter 13. Put it there. Let's read together. Please give me 5 more minutes. I'll end my sermon. It says, now, an old prophet dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works of that man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. Next verse, please. And their father said to them, which way did he go? For his sons had seen which way the man of God went, who came from Judah. Next verse, please. Church, let's read. You read it, I read the next verse. Next verse. Let me read this and you read the next one. And went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. Then he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Church, read next verse. Next verse. Please read the next verse. Let's read this loudly. For I have been told. Next verse. He said to him, I too, I am what? A prophet, as you are. And the angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and what? And drink water. He was lying to him. He was what? Hallelujah. Are you understanding me? Next verse, please. Look at what the Lord did. The ways of God you can't understand. Look at what the Lord did. So he what? and drank water. Now it happened, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. Now, the actual word of God, the one he spoke, he was lying on. It says that, and the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. Next verse, it says what? And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment with the Lord God what had commanded you, he says you would die with where your ancestors are. Next verse. But you came back and ate bread and drank water in thy place, of which the Lord said, eat no bread and drink no water. Your corpse shall not come to the tomb of one of your fathers. Are you understanding me? He lied. The prophet lied. But God has not said anything. Where was his discernment? Am I communicating? Hallelujah. And later the word of the Lord came to me and said, tell him that you disobeyed what my word. Are you understanding me? Listen, even in ministry, there are times you have to be careful. You have to what? I'm speaking to the man of God. Hallelujah. Be careful. Sometimes you go to some place and there is so much grace upon your life, and a man of God say, I hear the Lord say, come and be in my ministry and come and help my ministry. Oh, boy. Can I close? Hallelujah. Oh, boy. But now the actual word of God comes and you find yourself that you've thrown yourself somewhere away. Cry. Number three, and I close with this, filthy communication. Filthy communication. Sinful speech. Filthy communication. Colossians chapter 3 verse 8. It says that, but now ye also put off these, all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. King James version, not New King James. Filthy communication out of what? Your mouth. This one says filthy language what? Out of your mouth. Now the section ought to cause us we need to fear in our soul. Because Paul is telling us that Paul is telling the new convert in Colossians that they have to get rid of filthy speech. Now there are various translations about this, and it talks about dirty word talk. Are you understanding me? What are filthy languages? Speech that is vulgar or intended to be what? Offensive. And this should not be associated to what? To the believer. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. You see, there are times where we find ourselves in the category of coerced jetting. And coerced jetting is a form of vulgar or indecent joking. And you use things about sex and other things. Hallelujah. Sometimes you see a believer, they'll find themselves among people and they are talking about things that are vulgar. And they join them and they say it. Are you understanding me? Sometimes you can hear a believer and you could tell that the whole month he is more fluent in the F word than anything. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. And when he has Are you understanding me? It says that these are filthy words. What? Do you understand it? No. These are one. So you find a believer and he's you could see that there are filthy words what in his mouth. And the Bible is admonishing us. It says that what you have to put off what filthy communications what out of what your mouth. Are you on? And sometimes we find ourselves in moments and places like that, and there is a conversation that is so filthy, so sexually or immoral, and we find ourselves we are talking to, especially when the guys they are speaking. You see the girl, the guy, Nagam 2, Nagam 3, Nagam 4, Nagam 5, Nagam 6, and you find a believer. And sometimes the tree and the fountain, I don't want to say those things on the pulpit. Hallelujah. And you are a believer. Are you? And sometimes you see people who share things on Facebook and that are very filthy. And you see a believer, you also comment and then you laugh. Ha 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 ha. Are you understanding? They will comment and they will laugh. He said that stay away from what? Filthy what? Communication. Are you understanding me? And there are some people that there are times where when they ask you, when they speak to you all the time, always the communication is so filthy. Hallelujah. It's always they use something about the sexuality of man or woman to speak. We say. I mean, what sort of, are you understanding me? And these things, they don't help you, they don't build you spiritually. Ladies, what the guys you want to marry? And guys, what the ladies want to marry? Are you understanding me? That all your life, all your communication is always what? Filthy, 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 filthy. Someone say, aye, 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 aye. Listen, Mark Arthur said something. He said that in his commentary on Ephesians 200 to 201, he says that they should never be guilty of filthy or silly talk or coerced jetting. And that's what I've defined. Hallelujah. Coerced jetting is using a form of vulgar and indecent joking that uses sex in rude or humorous what manner. Some people are joking and they use sex in humorous and what? How can a believer, and Paul is admonishing us, he says that take yourself from filthy what? Communicate. Sometime in the office, and before you see, they are speaking about filthy communication and use jet coercing, and then they are speaking, and then you go and join and you are also saying it. What kind of believer are you? Are you understanding me? You don't know this scripture. It says that let not filthy communicate. Sometimes maybe you came from your past, you are now born again. These things, they are there. But when they come, that's why you have to pray, Lord, keep a guard over my mouth. Am I communicating? Keep a guard word over my mouth. So that is why if you are listening to music or songs that is always filthy, it corrupts your spirit, man. It corrupts what? Your spirit, man. And you my wiktia from beginning. F, 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 F till the end. And when they end, they say, hip hop, hey, hey. Hallelujah. Some people, you go to their rooms, they are filthy communication, they are all there. You see a woman, they've lifted their leg like that. How can you grow spiritually? Are you understanding me? There are some things you don't say, but the pictures alone, they tell it all. And the Bible says that stay away from what? Filthy word. Sometimes it is humorous, and there are people in the body of Christ, they are like that. Or say, oh, ye diagro, ye diagro. Whether it's agro or what, it's a filthy word, communication. Am I communicating to you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is why I want to end here to say that, listen, we have to be mindful about every speech that comes from our mouth. Because if we allow it, it will cripple the word of our testimony. Please be upstanding.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. That was such a powerful message from the man of God, Reverend Sydney Alamensa. I believe you have been blessed. God bless you for staying tuned to today's sermon, and shalom.